Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Are you looking to show up as a sacred leader in your life and you're feeling perhaps a little bit stuck with what even leadership actually looks like? What does it look like for you? Are you doing it? Is it right? Is it wrong? All of those questions. On today's show, I am going to dive into exactly what does sacred leadership mean and how does it practically apply in our personal lives as well as in work and business. A little bit about me today. So my name is Charisse Alexander, your host of Sacred Leadership with Charisse, and I have been in business for 20 plus years in various roles such as an entrepreneur, a mortgage broker, and currently I am a director of a sustainable development company with work in West Africa, specifically Nigeria. So I have had these challenges around questioning, what kind of leader am I? How do I want to show up? How does it work? Does it work differently in different environments around the world? And today we are going to talk about some of the lessons and things that I have learned over the last many years and how I am showing up as a leader. So without further delay, let us dive in. So where we're going to begin is talking about what actually is sacred leadership. And what I have come to understand about leadership, it's the alignment really between what we say and how we act and how that desired outcome actually comes into play around leadership. So when we talk about sacred leadership, some people might think that that's referring specifically to work or business, but I'm really talking about how do we become leaders in our lives, personally, as well as professionally or in business. So let's start with personally and what does leadership look like? So for many years, you know, people would say, oh, you're such a good leader. You're such a good leader. And for me, I would say, oh, well, am I? Like, is there something that's special that I'm doing? And what I came to eventually actually understand and realize that what they were talking about was like this embodiment that I would bring into any situation, any room. And what I learned over the years, it's almost like this quiet confidence. Like you're the person that people look to when things feel like chaos. So what do you do with that personally? How can you embody that personally? So let's use something super relatable for everybody, and that's family. So if you are a parent or even adult child, any of these roles, are you the leader in your family? And if not, can you think of somebody in your family who embodies what these leadership qualities look like? So really quick example that I'll give you. When I was growing up, there was this uncle that I had, and I say had because he's no longer with us, rest his soul. But he was absolutely a leader in our family. And when I think of the qualities that he embodied that really made him the go-to person in our family, he was calm under pressure. You couldn't really rattle him. He really didn't get too flappable in many situations. He was inviting, so he would hold space. So when people say hold space, what they're really talking about is, can I come to you with a challenge or something that I'm grappling with? And can I trust that I can be vulnerable and open and that you are going to hear me and not become reactive? The other thing was, is he was wise. He looked at situations from many, many different perspectives. He didn't just take information at face value, but he would like look at it from many different perspectives. And then he would give me some sage wisdom or advice, and not just myself, but many, many other people in our family. So that's an example of how I would say we can use, you know, showing up personally as a leader in family. Now, if we pivot and we do, you know, look at it from a little bit of a different example, specifically, let's use friendships. How do we show up as leaders in our personal and close friendships? Now, again, for a few years, you know, folks would come to me with the things that were heavy on their head, heart, and mind. And I think that when I look at how I showed up in each of those specific examples over the years, that I would embody those things, or I would really try to embody those things that, I talked about with my uncle. So, I would try to remain calm. I would try to remain very objective. I would often for people show up as their mirror. And so what I mean when I say that is I would ask questions that would often trigger some kind of response. It wasn't always positive. And as a leader, I think that you have to be able to like personally and emotionally detach from the response. And sometimes that's really tricky. So sometimes on this journey, folks will say things like, you got to do this healing work for yourself. And the reason why we do the healing work for ourselves is so that you don't become triggered by what other people say and understand that it's not necessarily a reflection of you as a leader, but sometimes their own pain and hurt. So an example of when this comes in, we'll say conflict, and this is totally relatable in a familial situation, in a friendship, or even in business. So if somebody's coming to me and they are saying things, recently, as an example, I'll make this a work example. Recently, I had asked my team to do some leadership feedback, and they had this form, and not everybody has filled out the form, but they wanted to give me feedback before the form was circulated. So they felt like they needed to come and like really soften the blow. And so, the HR manager is talking to me and she's saying to me, she's like, I can see she's super uncomfortable with this. So I said to her, I said, listen, I have an open door policy and I have an open door policy for a reason. Why am I getting this energy from you that you do not want to talk to me about whatever this feedback is? And what she said to me was really telling. She said, well, I just don't know how you're going to take it. And I said, okay, well, why don't you just give me the baby and dispense with the labor and let's see where we're going with this. And so she went into talking about not feeling, we'll say, and she wasn't talking specifically about me. She was talking about leadership and management as a whole. And she was saying that, there were some challenges in the system and maybe not feeling necessarily heard or supported, or that they could make decisions without being micromanaged and all this other kind of stuff. And I said, okay, well, we went through each of the things one by one. But in that moment, I even said to her, I said, here's what you need to understand about me. I said, I have done enough work on myself that at the end of the day, the feedback you're giving me, I can detach from this and I'm not personalizing it. I'm taking it exactly as you are delivering it, which is feedback for me to digest and process and then decide how we actually move forward. And ultimately, at the end of that conversation, there was zero that came from it where I felt personally attacked in that scenario. So when we talk about, the work that needs to be done, and how do we do the personal work? And why is this relatable? You might be like, we're talking about work and we're talking about business and we're talking about personally. Here's the reality. It's all related. There is no separation. Yes, we can compartmentalize between what's work and what's personal, but the reality is we are whole human beings who have feelings, who have experiences that color every single experience that we have. So all of it is related. So one thing that I've learned to do this year specifically, and especially with my leadership style, is when I talk about not personalizing, when something does come up where I'm feeling triggered, so angry, the first thing that I do is I actually pause and I'm like, okay. And I take a breath and I'll be like, internally, the question that I'm asking myself is, okay, why am I upset at this particular point in time? And I will usually make a quick note to myself, like, okay, I'm feeling anger right now. We're going to come back to exactly what's going on here at this moment in time and dive into why am I feeling angry. But before we dive into how I got here, I want to go back a little bit to my own journey in terms of finding my own leadership style and eventually landing here on this alignment piece, which I think is very important. So early in my career, when people would be saying, oh, you're such a great leader and all this other kind of stuff, I couldn't really fully understand what they were talking about. And that came fully under spotlight when I started working in Nigeria. And I came in, and for those of you who know me, you know that I wear these rosy colored glasses about how life should be and, the light that sits within everybody. And that is genuinely how I roll through my experience. But when I first started coming to Nigeria, For those of you that might be familiar with Nigeria, it can be a bit of a, I'm going to say dynamic. It's a very dynamic environment. It's fast-paced. It can be full of opportunities. But sometimes people would call those opportunities challenges. And so when I came in, I was very much rooted in my rosy-colored glasses type of experience. So I came in with this idea that, like, I'm going to bring my sunshine and everybody's going to love it and it's going to be amazing. And needless to say, yes, it was amazing in some ways, but in other ways, it was equally very challenging because what I was trying to say to people wasn't landing. So then I went hardcore in the other direction. I was taking in feedback from other people who have been in this environment for a while, and I was going hard into the paint on, like, it's got to be like this, like very much stick approach, right? Focused very much on productivity, 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 output, 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 deliverables, deliverables, deliverables. And forgetting within all of that that I'm working with people, and people have feelings and they have emotions and they have all of these other complexities, we'll say. And then I realized that wasn't landing. And I think I, at that point, had read a Brené Brown book, Dare to Lead. And she reminded me that we need to come back to the people piece. So this is where the real magic started to happen, because this is where I figured out how to begin weaving these two pieces together, right? How do we make sure that we are meeting organizational objectives? But how do we make sure to remember that we are dealing with people, and people come in with their various challenges, with their complexities, with their emotions, their personalities? It's a very, very beautiful and rich fabric. But how do we bring these two things together and find some synchronicity and some alignment? And I realized that before we could actually do that, that I needed to actually begin with myself. So often what people will witness me doing is I'm very observant when I am in my environment, or in any environment for that matter. And so I would find, as I said, coming back to talking about the leader in myself, is that I would take a step back from any situation where I found myself becoming triggered or emotionally responsive, and trying to figure out, okay, what is it in this for me that is being reflected to me that I need to learn and ultimately take forward? And as soon as I started to, like, look inward, versus it's very easy as leaders to point outside of ourselves and say it's someone else that's doing something, it's someone else who's dropping the ball, or it's someone else who isn't meeting or, coming up to scratch with what they need to do. That is all very easy. The challenge is to actually look inward and figure out how it is that we are maybe falling short as leaders. And that's tough. I'll admit it. It's super difficult, because then all the other stories start to come up, right? About how we're not smart enough, or we don't have enough of this, we don't have enough of that. Any number of things enter in enough. And that's where I found myself, is realizing that there was this underlying story of how I wasn't something enough. And as soon as I started to dig into and peel back those stories and really lean in and hold space for people, that is when the magic really, really started to happen. So here we are, in 2025, cruising to the end of the year, and I can say that I feel like I have really began to found my stride as a leader. And so much so that with my people, when I'm not here, it's almost like they are desirous of this thing that I'm holding for them, which is space, which is helping them to find what it is that sits within them that allows them to also equally show up. And specifically what I'm talking about is my other management team, so the other leaders on my team, and then, the leaders that are up and coming. So what we're going to begin to talk about next is, once you begin to identify what these stories are and the work that's involved with that, how do we move through that and then begin to show up in the various pieces of our lives lives as the sacred leaders that you and I are meant to be. So we've talked a little bit about personally. Next, what we're going to touch on is professionally and in business and the tools and resources that I utilize on a daily basis in order to hold space for individuals in terms of, you know, recognizing the leader that they are within themselves. So we are about to go to break and stay tuned for the rest of the conversation on what is a sacred leader.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You are listening to Sacred Leadership with myself, Charisse Alexander, on Inspired Choices Network. So right before the break, I was giving examples of a little bit of my own journey in terms of trying to figure out what outfit fit in terms of leadership, for lack of putting it a better way. And we were about to dive into how we actually move through this process of allowing your natural leader inside to come to the surface, right? The beautiful intelligence that dwells within all of us. So some of the things that I was talking about that I would do is I got really, really good at asking questions. And I started doing this with my people as well. And the first thing is, it's like anger I've witnessed is usually the first thing that people will feel, either personally, professionally, or in business, some type of low vibe emotion. At least I witnessed it in myself, so I won't speak for everyone, but within myself, I could notice anger. And I like to use, and I actually have gone through this process with a few people, when they're like, oh, I just get so angry. And I'd be like, okay, well, what do you feel, right? It's real easy to go to the emotion, but what do we physically feel first? And people will say things like, I'll get really hot, or my heart will pound really, really fast. Or, you know, if you're fair complected, you'll be like, my cheeks will get really, really red, or, you know, my vision will become blurred. The next time you get angry or any low vibe emotion, pay attention. I say to people, emotions are data. It's what we do with the data that will help us kind of navigate this journey a little bit. So for myself, when I'm angry, I feel it in my chest. My heart gets really just starts to beat erratically. And that is my first cue. And people have seen me do it before where I'll just be like, okay, I'm just going to take a moment. If it's my team and they know me well, I'll just take a real quick moment. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to bring myself back to center real quick. And I'm going to breathe. So that's actually the second thing that I will do. And so, as I said, I am quickly in that moment saying, okay, I'm angry right now. I can see the anger right now. It's going to color this experience if I do not get this under control. I'm vocalizing it. And why am I vocalizing it? I'm vocalizing it so that my people know that emotions are okay. And I strongly encourage them. When people try to like push away their emotions, remember I said I have an open door policy in my office. So when people are trying to like bury their emotions and push them away and things like that, my office is the one office where, or one of the offices where I welcome them. And I will say things like, don't bury your emotions, feel your feels, put words to them. And words are extremely limiting when it comes to emotions. But what I'm doing in that moment when I'm showing up vulnerably and I'm saying, okay, I'm angry. I can feel that I'm angry. I'm going to put a voice to it. And sometimes, and then often what will happen with anger or any emotion is as soon as we acknowledge it, it starts to dissipate. So, okay, I'm angry now. Why am I angry? And I will make a mental note, okay, I'm being emotionally triggered here about this thing, whatever it might be, and there's not necessarily any truth in it, but we're going to come back to it at some later point in time. The next thing that I will do is that I will then take a breath and I'll say, okay, breath, I was angry. Now I'm calm and I'm clear and I'm focused. Let's stay on topic. And then we can continue on with whatever the thing is that we are talking about at that particular moment in time with whoever it is, so that we can stay very, very focused. But again, as I've said, by putting a voice to the emotion, by showing that vulnerability and authenticity, I'm also giving my people a tool so that they understand it's okay, we can do this. And the beautiful thing that starts to happen is people will start to do it with you. I had a young lady who has a super duper hot temper. She's like the first to be like quick trigger with everything. And I mean, this girl will go toe to toe with anybody. And so I brought her into my office one day and I said, listen, I said, you're really intelligent. You're super gifted. I said, you have so much potential. And I said, but it's almost like you're squandering it a little bit. And I said to her, I said, people in this environment see anger a lot. I said, you know what has more power than explosiveness in this environment, in most environments? I said, is when we're quiet. And I said, so when you begin to show up with your intelligence and your brilliance by not getting louder, but softer, I said, people will actually naturally lean in. Isn't that what naturally happens when somebody brings their vocal down? You naturally actually lean in because you need to actually hear what they're saying. And so what inevitably happened once I started, modeling this for her is that she started doing it. And she, if anything, actually wanted to come in and say, she would do this. She would come in and she'd be like, okay, I totally took your advice. And I like took a deep breath and I calmed and I centered myself and I grounded myself. And she's actually exploding on me here and in this moment, but with her colleagues and her, with her colleagues, when she was doing this, what she was doing was exactly what I had directed her to do. And it was allowing her to find her own way with it. It's, you know, it'll take some work and there's a little bit of, refinement that needs to go on with that. But ultimately she began to use this tool. So after we have identified it somatically, and then we have actually gone into like taking a breath, and then we've taking the third step, which is working through whatever is at hand. Now we come back to what happens next. So work meeting, personal meeting, professional meeting, whatever the meeting is, the interaction is, now it's over. Now comes back to reflection. So remember I said there was the thing that triggered me. I now come back and I'm like, okay, the process now of elimination. And normally what I will do with this piece is I'm going to recall what the thing was that triggered me in this particular scenario that made me upset. And normally what I will actually do, so now I'm actually giving myself permission to go back there and I'm saying, okay, let's recall what the thing was that was said that made me feel upset. And so I'm recalling it. And now I'm in this moment, I'm actually journaling about it. And I'm like, okay, well, and I'm having this conversation with myself and I'm saying things like, okay, well, why was I upset? Okay, this person said this thing that made me question what my worth and my value were. Okay. They were questioning my worth or value in terms of being an effective leader. I'm just using an example. This is not what it was, but I'm just using it as an example. And then the next question within that, well, is there a truth in that? And so normally what I'm doing is I am now looking to see all the ways that it is true. And then all the ways, and more importantly, that it's false. And this is where, if we look for it, you will actually find the things or the stories that are contrary to the idea that triggered you. I hope that makes sense in terms of how I'm trying to explain it. Because if you think about what's happening when you are being triggered, it's rubbing on a wound. It's rubbing on an old story that is, you know, on autoplay in the subconscious there, and you're giving value to it when you're having that feeling. And so normally what I'm doing when I'm looking for contrary evidence, I'm like, well, wait a minute, is that really true? Or is that something else that's at play here? And the truth of the matter is that there's all kinds of evidence all around me that tells me otherwise, that I'm an excellent leader, that people do value me. And this is just old programming that we are really trying to get rid of. And at the end of the day, if you understand what old programming is, it's that subconscious story that plays on auto loop that realistically runs a ridiculous 95 to 97% of what you do. When you think about that number, and I've said it before on this podcast before, 95 to 97% of what you do is on autoplay. That means that those stories are really firmly in play. And so we are constantly having to go toe-to-toe with those stories and challenge them. So some of the activities that I also do for myself in challenging those stories, and it might seem silly, actually, I wish I had my Go Me box readily available, but I literally have a Go Me box of like post-it notes, affirmations, if you will, of all the various ways that I show up as an amazing leader day in and day out. And the reality is that it does take work. And there are going to be things that are going to come up on a day-to-day basis where you're going to be having to challenge those stories. And I'm here to say that at the end of the day, if you just stick with it, stay with the story or stay with the positive story in the amazing leader that you are, eventually those old stories will start to literally fade into the background and be a thing of the past. And the new stories, you will show up as the leader that you actually are personally, professionally, and in business. So that is kind of the process that I work through when in, you know, we'll say an interaction with someone. Again, just to recap, we talked about the somatic piece. So what are you feeling in your body? The second piece is like grounding and centering yourself with some breath work. The third piece is, you know, putting a pin in it. Once you've cleared the emotion, put a pin in it. And then the fourth piece is once the interaction is done, we come back and we ask ourselves some really, really critical questions in terms of, you know, why was I being triggered? And then the last piece of all of that is like using a journal. And the journal is almost like your data collection, right? So you're, because what you will eventually see starts to happen is you're creating it's a data log of like where you started in this journey and then ultimately where you get to when you're trying to navigate finding your own leadership style within all of this. And it'll become really useful. And the one thing that I've actually noticed this year in particular is that folks are also seeing it within me. So there's something very quiet that happens where people notice that you are ultimately showing up a little bit differently. Like it's almost like you're getting a new outfit. That's actually the best way to put it. You're getting a new outfit and you're looking real confident in it. You are holding yourself differently. You have this new confidence, those stories. And let's be honest, if you can deal with the stories that are going on in your own head, then the stories that are going on outside of you, they are like child's play. They become literally nothing. It goes back to that example that I was giving you when I said, you know, one of my staff was coming to me with all of this, as she said, negative feedback. It was like, it was literally water off a duck's back because none of that stuff meant anything to me. I was simply listening for the data in what she was saying. There was zero emotion attached to it. And when you are able to lean in and listen to what people are saying without becoming triggered and being completely detached, then you really, really can hear what they're saying and not personalize any of it. And that is where we begin to really show up as a leader, because there's nothing in there that is being attached to feelings and ultimately becoming reactive. Because how many of us have seen leaders that are emotionally becoming reactive, and you can see it a mile away because you say something and they fly off the handle or they become very, very defensive. And You know, they start yelling or whatever those things might be, but you can see that they're becoming reactive. And when you can begin to ignite that within yourself, then it actually informs a lot of data when you are dealing with other people. Because now, when I see people becoming very emotionally reactive, I know it's not a reflection of me. If anything, I go into observer mode and it becomes, interesting. This person is becoming very reactive. And so now you can in turn come with some really, really intelligent questions. And that is exactly where we're going to go to here next is, great, you've mastered yourself. What happens when you turn it on someone else? So we're going to go to break. You are listening to Sacred Leadership with Charisse, myself, Charisse Alexander on Inspired Choices Network. When we return, we will continue to discuss this topic on how you can turn this on other people and helping them find the leader in them.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse at PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse, where today we are talking about sacred leadership and beyond. And the beyond is not just being a leader in work, but personally as well. We have been talking a lot about work lately, but we are going to touch on some of the personal piece here in a moment. But where we are at this moment in time, in terms of just a recap of the previous segment, we were talking about the process of kind of really tuning into yourself and starting to bring that leader in you to the forefront when you're in a situation where you are perhaps being triggered. And the reason why we're talking about it here is, let's face it, it's super easy, well, maybe not super easy, but it's definitely a lot easier to be a leader or allow those qualities to come through when you feel good, right? When you're not being triggered, when there are no challenges, when nobody's going toe-to-toe with you. That's easy. That's not where the juice is. The juice is how do we still hold true? And really, that is the medal of a true leader, is when you are being challenged. And that's what really ultimately people are looking at. When you forget people, you, that is what really comes to the forefront. When you are challenged, how do you show up? And that is the true measure of a leader. So next, what we are going to talk about here is, how do you help others find that within them? And so I was using the example of the employee that I have that was having some challenges with how she was showing up with her colleagues and some of the guidance that I gave her. So we're going to dive more into that and kind of what that process looks like. So the first thing that I always do with people, and if you know me personally, you know that I do this. Personally, professionally, you know that I do this. When I see that people are feeling their emotions, the first thing I do is I hold space. And that means for me, open door policy, you can bring whatever you want to me. It can be personal, it can be professional, but I hold space. And so the folks that come into my office, they know that this is a safe space, that I will not judge, that I will hold what you are telling me in confidence. So what I'm talking about right now are values, right? So you can trust me. That's value number one. You can be vulnerable with me. So in other words, I guess that I will hold you. Number three, I will allow you to be authentic. Number four, I'm going to hold compassion for you. I'm going to be empathetic for you. Whatever your values are, I'm telling you what mine are, but these are the things that I do with my folks. So they know that they can come here and they can have that very safe space to like take off their mask and be themselves. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to ask them questions. And normally the way that I couch this is, if you know me well, I can sometimes come across as very direct, which you either love or you hate. And I will say to people, I'm going to, you know, walk you through this, but I might say some things that you don't love hearing, and I'm going to ask for their permission. Do you want to hear what I have to, like, my input? And always, almost always, people will be like, yes, please. And they never like it. So normally what will happen is now they've given me carte blanche to like go in. Now, what does going in mean? Going in does not mean bull in a china shop. Going in means I'm going to ask you questions that are going to not feel great. And usually the things that I'm asking people are like, okay, you're angry, but why are you angry? Don't make it about the other person. Let's go deeper than that. Because remember, I said as a leader, it's very easy to point the finger at someone else, but let's bring it back to the person that can really control here, because we already know we can't control what happens outside of us as much as we want to live or believe the fallacy that we can. The reality is that we cannot. So let's bring it back to what we can control. The first question is, why are you feeling said emotion about whatever situation? And do not make it about the other person. And that almost always challenges everybody, because when we have to look at like what's really going beneath the surface, like what's really going on, this is where the real light bulb moments come, right? Because people, and remember, I'm holding space so you can say whatever it is that you want. This is where people can be really honest and they can really begin to see how you are showing up as an individual is energetically, which we'll get into in other shows, but is energetically being reflected back to you. So that's the second piece. So first piece, remember, is holding space or being clear about what your values are. And the reason why it's important to have clarity on what your values are is because the second part of that is holding the space. Because if we've communicated our values and we're holding space or creating a container for those values, then we can safely ask questions and encourage real honest reflection from the person that we're talking to. Now, the last piece of that, so just to recap, sorry, first is value, second is holding space, third is those juicy questions. And don't overthink the questions, right? Allow yourself to kind of navigate through these questions with what feels intuitively right. And if the person gets triggered, it's okay. Become detached from that. And again, when you see that, just remind them, okay, I can see that you're getting upset about this. Do you need a moment? Okay, you don't need a moment. If they do need a moment, give it to them, but then come back to it. Okay, well, why did you feel this new emotion? So this is ultimately how we really get to the root of any issue, is we got to keep asking questions. And great, good thing for me is I love questions. I love to ask questions. So I'll ask questions all day long. So then the last piece of this is then what happens if you yourself become triggered in this quest of finding questions? And this sometimes happens. And so I would just invite you to remind yourself that if you find yourself becoming triggered by something that that person is saying, well, then that means there's something obviously in it for you as well. And when I say something in it for you as well, I mean something in it for you to take away from the experience. So in that, now, so this is where it becomes interesting, because now you're holding space for the person that you're in relationship with, professionally speaking, and then you have your own thing that's coming up, which you also have to manage. So within that, what you're going to want to do is, you know, put a pin in it or make a mental note. Oh, I was feeling this when this was said. I'll come back to it later. Put a pin in it, and then you can do that entire process for yourself after you've dealt with said person in front of you. So coming back, okay, so what does this entire circle look like again? And we're talking again in a work or business environment. So the first thing is know your values. And so what I'm talking about here are core values. What are the things that are important to you when having an authentic and vulnerable exchange with someone? So that's number one. Number two, we're going to hold space. So holding in mind what my core values are. Now, when I open this space for someone else to come into it and be authentic, these are the values that we are going to establish here, and we're going to now allow them to be open, honest, vulnerable, so on and so forth. Step three is we are going to go through our litany of questions, and we're going to hold space and allow for them to feel their feels and then ask those questions that are really trying to peel back and getting to the root of what's really at play there. And then last but not least, if you find yourself becoming triggered in this interaction, there is something juicy in it for you too. So just put a pin in it and come back to it when all is said and done. So that is how I would suggest that we kind of go through, helping other folks find that leadership piece within them. And then of course, feedback. Feedback is really important. So make sure to come back to the person and say, hey, you know, how did that thing go? How did you handle it? You know, this is kind of part of, for lack of putting it a better way, mentoring, leading, coaching people is check back in with them, see how the tools and resources, more things that we can do in order to help them find their way within navigating all of this. And I'm sure that will inevitably what will happen is I use the example of my very fiery employee. She was excited to come back and tell me about all of the things that were going on. So now I want to pivot to where I used this in a business meeting, because, you know, sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, that works really well when you're, you know, maybe in your office or maybe, you know, dealing with something personally. But then I had to use this particular scenario for myself in a business meeting. So this is an out of office, offsite business meeting. And, you know, when you are an entrepreneur or a business owner, things are personal for you. As much as we say they're not, let's face it, your business is your baby in a lot of ways. So when people are like, oh, it's just work or it's just business. No, that's not true. It's very, very personal because you put so much of yourself into this baby that you were trying to raise. So there was a scenario recently, this last week, actually, where we were having a bit of a meeting, a little bit of a contentious meeting with, you know, a client, we'll say. And it's been a bit of a heated relationship for a while. And what we were trying to do is come to agreements on this. Now, the last time I was in one of these meetings with this client, it was very emotional for me. And what was even more horrifying is it was very obvious to everyone else that I was very emotionally invested. So I literally ran away from this meeting with my tail tucked between my legs and swore I was never going to go back because I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed that at the end of the day, I had allowed my emotions to be so visible. So fast forward, I think the last time I was at this client's office was like literally a year ago. Fast forward, come back a year, and with all of these tools that I literally talked to you about today, I was able to sit in this meeting that was, you know, I found that because I was able to hold myself in a very, very different space, where I was able to park my emotions, literally take myself out of the emotional hot seat, put those emotions over there for just one moment. Yes, we're going to use the data, but at the end of the day, that emotion doesn't need to be in this meeting because it's going to color my actions. It's going to color what I'm seeing. And what I'm trying to do is to get a sense and a perspective of what is actually going on in the room. And that is actually the real important reason of why it's not avoid the emotions, it's acknowledge and put a pin in it. Because when we have emotions that are coloring a situation, especially in work, it makes it really difficult to see what is actually going on. It makes it difficult to see other people's, the things they're saying, or hear the other things they're saying, see their body language, understand where they're coming from. And if we think about what ultimately the purpose of this particular methodology is, it's to really see the perspective of what's going on in the room. And the next time we have the next episode, I'm going to make sure that I bring this visual representation of exactly what it is that I'm trying to talk about. And I bought this thing recently because it reminded me that when we go into any interaction, there's many different truths that are going on. And so what we're really trying to do is to park the emotion so that we can see through to what is relevant at that particular point in time as a leader. So we are going to then next talk about, I'm going to give you the rest of the story of how we handled or how I handled this potentially emotional situation. And we're going to kind of wrap up coming back to the other pieces of being a sacred leader in your life when we talk about it personally, in terms of friendships, and then also when we talk about familially, like with family, be it as a parent or as a sibling or any of those things in your life. So when we come back from break, we will dive into that. Stay tuned.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me today. My name is Charisse Alexander, your host of Sacred Leadership with Charisse. If you're enjoying this show, please, please, please give me a 5-star review on iTunes for Sacred Leadership with Charisse. I would be supremely grateful, and this will assist in getting the information out to those that really need to hear it. And if you are looking for more information about myself and what it is that I'm doing, please visit my website, www.pavitraleadership.com. That is P-A-V-I-T-R-A. leadership.com. Pavitra actually means sacred. That's where it came from. And if you want to reach out to me, you can hit me at charisse@pavitraleadership.com. That's S-H-E-R-I-S-S-E at P-A-V-I-T-R-A leadership.com. It is a mouthful. So thank you again for joining me today. In this last segment, we're just going to be wrapping up some real relatable examples of all of the methodologies that I'm talking about. So if you remember or recall, or if you're just joining me now, what I was saying is that I had been to a client's office about a year ago. And because I'm so emotionally invested in my business, I was really taking it real personal. Like I was feeling attacked. And I was saying that the most embarrassing part of it all is that everybody knew it. I mean, I had some of my people being like, oh, you lost it. I was like, oh gosh, was it that obvious? And it was. And so I ran away. And I've spent all this time kind of like not wanting that scenario to happen again, but also realizing that it's really human. It's really, really human. And I was being vulnerable in an environment that maybe doesn't welcome it, but I'm okay with that. I've come to the place where I've even actually vocally said to my people that I've been here since day one. This place is my baby. And I'm a mama bear when it comes to my baby, and I'm not going to be apologetic about it. But the work that I've done in the last year has really been about how do I show up differently as a leader. And so recently had a meeting with this same client and went in with a very different garment of leadership on. And it was one of being calm, very cool, very collected, very much aligned within myself on what my own values were. And in a business context, it's about mutual partnership. It's about longevity. It's about value. It's about service. It's about, can we work together? All of these things. And so in this most recent interaction, the beautiful thing that ended up happening is like we made some forward traction. At the end of it, it was like we came away with some action points. There were no feelings that were hurt. It was like, okay, we got some resolution. Like, okay, we're going to do this about this. We're going to do that about that. And okay, there's still these other things that we need to talk about, but we're going to go away and come back. And so we were able to like really move forward because in this example, I felt like a really solid and grounded leader in that moment. I wasn't emotionally triggered. They are definitely not emotionally triggered because it wasn't that kind of scenario for them, but for me, I was. So that was like the really relatable example of old Charisse or old leader that was being emotionally triggered when I didn't really need to be, aside from, you know, my baby was being attacked, AKA business, versus, okay, what's the common goal that we want here? And how do I show up in alignment with what my values as a leader are so that we can reach that objective? So far, so good. Stay tuned. There'll be more on that story. So now as we wrap up, I want to hopefully make a couple of really quick examples of how we show up as leaders in our personal life. So we're going to talk about two different things here. One is in family, and the second is in personal relationships, specifically friendships. So recently, I had this experience, and I really take pride in being a really great mom. I love my children immensely. I tell them all the time. I think I show up as a fabulous leader for my family, but hey, guess what? Newsflash, got a notification from one of my kids recently that I wasn't. So I was like, oh. And, you know, some people would be like, oh, you know, were you upset? No, not at all. In fact, this is what tells me that the growth has been really successful so far. One of my kids had said, you know, I'm feeling really disconnected from you. And, you know, I don't want that to happen. And they gave me like all of their reasons why they were feeling disconnected. And instead of leaning into making a story or leaning into a story, which I've definitely done in the past, where I'd be like, oh, I'm not a good mom. Oh, I abandoned my kids, or I did this thing, or I did that thing, any number of things that I could have said that I wasn't doing. Instead, I just heard what he was saying. And I just was like, okay, no problem. Let's fix it. How do we do that? So instead, what it prompted was for me to intentionally take the feedback that I was getting, not personalize it. Like there weren't even any emotions in my body. There was no anger. There was no sadness. There was no guilt. There was no shame. There was none of that. I simply was able to take the feedback, process it quickly, and say, okay, how can I fix this? And not only did it prompt me to go out and, you know, revamp or tweak the connection between myself and this one particular child of mine, but all of them. And that is an example of how we show up as leaders in our personal lives, specifically with family. Like, let's face it, family can trigger you super easy because they know you. And whether they know it or not, they kind of know where your soft spots are, like where are your vulnerabilities, and whether they know it. And this is why I always say that my kids are like truly my greatest teachers, because they have triggered me. They have taught me the most. Well, almost the most about myself. So it's really their relationships that I really value. So that's an example of how we can show up as leaders in our family. As a mother, I took what they were saying. I processed it. I reached out to all of them with so much intention and so much gratitude that they were able to be honest, and they were able to, like, you know, not think that I was going to be offended, and just meet them where they were and give them what it was they were asking for. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you to, you know who you are, for giving me that feedback that I was able to turn around and, you know, use with everyone else in our family to make sure that I'm having those really genuine and intimate connections. So we are getting to the end of our time here. So stay tuned on future episodes or future shows where we can talk about, you know, being a sacred leader and beyond, not just in work or in business, but also in family and friendship. Because really, at the end of the day, what is the point of this entire journey if we can't be vulnerable and authentic within all of that? So, I think we might be able to do one more here in terms of friendships. Oh, yes, we can. So realistically speaking, with friendships, let me just think about this really quickly. Yes, I have recently been, oh, no, we don't. Okay, so anyways, until next time, thank you so much for joining me today where we talked about being a sacred leader and beyond with Charisse Alexander. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.